Our Heavenly Father, we come before you to seek your grace and ask that you give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation as we study the book of Jonah. And I pray that you help your servant to explain to your children clearly. And I pray that you open our eyes that we can see and our ear that we can hear. And more importantly, take away our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, a new heart, and give us a new spirit upon our heart, so that we not only be able to understand what you have to say to us and give us the power to be able to be a doer of your word and not just be the hearer and to deceive ourselves. And I pray that you speak to us, enable us to do your will. And I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen. I would like to study the book of Jonah from chapter 1 to chapter 4 and learn the lesson. So I need you people to read it, but I tell you what chapter 1 is all about. Chapter 1 is when Jonah hear the word of the Lord and despise his word and flee away from the Lord. And the result is he was thrown into the sea, and the Lord provided quick fish to swallow Jonah. And then when Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights, he turned around and repented. And chapter 2 talk about his prayer. He prayed to God, prayer for the second chance, give him the chance. And then chapter 3 is when he preached his sermon. Finally, he obeyed God and go to Nineveh and preach the sermon. Lo and behold, the entire country, everyone, from king to servant, they repent and turn to the Lord. And chapter 4, Jonah is very angry with God. He say, I told you, you know, you are merciful, you are gracious, and now Jonah is the only one preacher. When he preached his message, he didn't expect people to believe. But where's the Gentile to believe and turn around? And then the entire nation was saved. He was very upset. And then God asked him why he being upset. Okay, could you, Letta, could you read it, chapter 1?
The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go against the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish. Then the sailors said to each other, Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? He answered, I am Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. This terrified them, and they asked, What have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. 11. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will be calm. I know that it is my fault, and this great storm has come. It is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights.
So in this chapter 1, what have we learned? If the Lord wants you to go to a certain place to do a certain task, and then you run away, and you refuse to finish the work, so what's the end result? Daniel? If God wants you to do certain tasks, just like if God wants Jonah to go to a great city of Nineveh and preach against this city because its wickedness had come up before me. If the Lord wants you to do certain tasks and you run away, what would happen from the book of Jonah, chapter 1? What happened to Jonah? Well, at first it was swallowed by fish. You have a rough, storm, right? And it's amazing, among all the Gentiles, they want to know, where does it come from? Why they face this kind of calamity? Who is responsible for this calamity? So they cast lot, and the lot fell on Jonah. You know, he thought he's running away from God. He thought he's high in the lower deck. Nobody know, you know, I just sleep, you know. You know, I tell you one thing, it's amazing. And Jonah, deep in his mind, said, oh, I'm lucky, you know, I'm running away from the Lord and then headed for Tarshish. He want me to go to the west, I go to the east, you know, I go to the opposite direction, you know. And lo and behold, he go to the port and, he paid the fare and went aboard. Just happened to be there's a ship there. Oh, praise God. You know, it's so smooth. And not knowing that when the ship set sail away from the shore, and lo and behold, the great wind sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. So when we study this Jonah chapter 1, so we have to reflect in our own life. Certain things we know deep in our heart, that we know certain things the Lord wants us to do. But if we run away from it, you know what happened? We will not have a smooth sailing. We will encounter difficulty. But remember one thing we learned from Jonah in chapter 1. When you face difficulty, you don't resist God. You turn to God. You ask God for help. He's rich in mercy. He's a forgiving Lord. He forgave Jonah. He sent a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. You know what? Jesus Christ using this incident to describe how Jonah was in the fish belly 3 days and three nights, and Jesus Christ was buried for 3 days. You understand? And 3 days later, Jesus Christ resurrected. So what happened to Jonah symbolized what happened to Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Would you please turn to it? And Matthew chapter 12. Let's read that. He said there's one prophet greater than Jonah. That prophet is Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 39. Etta, could you read that? 39 and all the way up to 41. 39 to 41. Read 38 first, okay? 38 to 41.
38 to 41.
Yeah.
Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here."
The Pharisee and the teacher of the law said to Jesus and asked Jesus to perform a miraculous sign so that they can believe in Jesus. Jesus said, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign. None will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah." In other words, chapter 1, verse 17, the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. That is the miraculous sign to the wicked and adulterous generation. Okay? In other words, how Jonah was inside the belly of a great fish is how Jesus Christ, our Lord, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, he was buried. You understand? And that is a miracle. That is a miraculous sign. The Lord gave it to the adulterous and wicked generation. And now they see what? What do they see? They see them. They heard about that. The Lord was resurrected 3 days later. Do they believe? They still don't believe. You know what happened? Do you know why? When Jonah preached about the message and they all believe, because they heard that Jonah running away from God and a great fish swallow him up. And everybody see the fish swallow him up, and lo and behold, him, he appear at the great city of Nineveh. They say, "Wow, what is going on?" So that's why, from the king to the servant, young and old, they all believe in the prophecy of Jonah. You understand? And Jesus said, "There's one prophet greater than Jonah. I preach better than Jonah, and yet you do not believe in me. You'll be judged." You understand? So Sally asked me, "What should I preach?" The reason I would like to study the book of Jonah, so that we as children of God, we have one thing in mind. We got to understand what the Lord wants his children to do. He wants us to do his will. The Lord do not want us to run away from him and run away from him, do our own thing. The Lord didn't like it. If we keep doing it, you know what's the end result? Jonah will be dead. Inside the fish for 3 days and three nights, if Jonah do not repent, he will go to hell. You understand? So we Christian, and I'm glad, Sally, that you invite your friends, although they don't come, it's okay. It's okay. At least we do the will of the Lord. At least you know why we have to do it, because that is the will of the Lord. Our Heavenly Father sent his Son, one and only Son, to die on the cross for us. I don't think he just wants to save six of us. No. He's a great God. He wants to save a lot more people. But now, are we doing the will of the Lord by hearing what he has to say to us? You know, the word of the Lord came upon us. What's the word of the Lord that came upon us? "Go and make disciples of all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And whatever I commanded you, you teach them to obey. Lo, and I will be with you from now until the end of the ages." We know that is the word of the Lord came upon us. So in those days, in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. I want you to write that down. Right beside the word of the Lord came to Jonah, you say the word of the Lord came to us. What's the word of the Lord came to us? Matthew chapter 28:19-20. You know, in those days, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah ran away. And now the word of the Lord came to all Christians. If we Christians run away, oh, we will face calamity, you know. Matthew chapter 28:19. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And that's the word of the Lord came to us. Can you imagine? I just want you to imagine. A lot of people, you know, they say to me, Pastor John, this verse, chapter 28, Matthew, verse 19 to 20, at that time, Jesus came to his 11 disciples and came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That command, that great commission is speaking to the 11 disciples. And I don't think this command only speaking to the 11 disciples. I prove it to you. What happened? These 11 disciples passed away. How long can they live? The oldest one, like John here, only can live less than 100 years, 90 some odd years old, and he passed away. So what happened if he passed away? And he don't make disciples of all nations. He don't command all the other disciples, make sure you're going to preach the gospel to Chinese. Will you and me come to know Christ? You understand what I'm trying to say? So the 11 disciples heard the command from the Lord Jesus. And then he carried out the command. Fulfill the will of the Lord. Because the will of the Lord not just want to save Daniel in those days, not only save Peter in those days, John in those days, James, right? He want the rest of the people to be saved too. So you have to make sure, once you believe in this command, and you pass it on to those who believe in it, and then they pass it on. So lo and behold, 2,000 years later, the gospel come to China, and we believe in it. And later on, come to me. I believe in it, and then I pass it on, and I say to you, now the word of the Lord came to you, Sally. You know what happened if I say no? I want to be like Jonah. You know, I tell you one thing. If you follow the very footstep of Jonah, your career won't be successful. You will face a lot of storm. The moment you turn around, everything will go smooth. How do I know? Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Verse 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinner, or sit in the seat of mocker, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Our delight is in the word of the Lord. What's the word? Matthew 28:19-20. My delight is in the word of the Lord, and on his law he meditate day and night. I meditate day and night on his word to me. The great commission that he want me to go and make disciples of all nations. And I want to pass this kind of blessing unto you. And then if he obey the word of the Lord, if his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditate day and night, if you did it, follow this very footstep of David. Verse 3, he is like a tree planted by streams of water which yield its fruit in season. You will always bear fruit in season and out of season because your life is planted by the stream of water, by the word of God. The word of God is a living water, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does, prosper. If you want to be prosperous and successful, do what the Lord wants you to do. Verse 4, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinner in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The way of the wicked will perish. Who is the wicked? The wicked is the one who disobey God's will. Jonah is the one. You understand what I'm trying to say? If you follow that, your life will be so successful. You know what? You listen to what he say to you when you are in need, the Lord will answer your prayer. Do you know why the Lord want to answer your prayer? Because he want to encourage you to keep on obeying him. You understand? So, go back to Jonah. So what happened? Like, from the Gentile perspective, when they face calamity, what do? They cry out to their own God, right? In verse 5, all the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God. But they said, oh God, this is idol, answer their prayer. No, none of them answered the prayer. And then they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship, hoping to save their own life. But it won't help. But Jonah has gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. And the captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Small letter G, he thought he's believing idol too. Maybe, the captain said, your God will take notice of us and we will not perish. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lot to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lot and the lot fell on Jonah. So in other words, the Lord did not let him go freely. Right? God is a God I can't see. But you're running away from him to do the most important task? Can anyone tell me how come the Lord want him want a big quick fish to swallow him up? What's the reason? How come the Lord did not ask the fish to chew him up? Right? Swallow him up, he's still inside the belly 3 days and three nights. If you chew him up, he will be dead. That big fish. Big fish doesn't need to chew you up because the mouth is big mouth too, right? It's just poof. And then inside the belly. So what's the reason for that? Do you know? So that what?
He may repent.
So that he may repent. Sometimes when we do things that are against God's will, he will swallow up. He will let something to swallow us up. So that in our distress, in our calamity, in our pain and suffering, we seek God and turn around. They say, so I show you how to get out of this mess. When you're in trouble and you know very clear that the Lord wants you to do certain things and you don't do it, you make a bargain with God. Say, God, you deliver me. If I get delivered out of this problem, I serve you. Make a deal with God. But when you make a deal with God, make sure you carry it out. Because that's the vow that you take. You understand what I'm trying to say? Make sure you carry it out. Because he can answer your prayer. And then let's see. Verse 8. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? And he answered, Jonah answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord. Now, listen to what he say. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who make the sea and the land. That means he's the creator. He worship God and yet he disobeyed God. You understand? It's very sarcastic. It's very ironic. And verse 10, this terrified them. And they asked, what have you done? Because they don't know true God, right? And they knew he was running away from the Lord because he has already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, waiting for his repentance. You know, when God sent the calamity upon us, he's not trying to destroy us. He's trying to what? Wake us up so that we turn around. If God wanted to destroy him, the ship break and everybody die. Finish. And our Lord Jesus Christ did not come to destroy. He come to save us, to seek us, and find us, and deliver us, and rescue us. Okay? So, the sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? They don't want to die with Jonah. And Jonah know what to do, because I'm the one who caused this problem. Pick me up and throw me into the sea. And he replied, and it will become calm. And I know it is my fault and that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the man did their best to row back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Verse 14. Then they cried to the Lord, O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life, because they are about to throw him into the sea. Well, that's more or less like killing him, right? They know that if I throw Jonah into the sea, Jonah will die. He didn't know that Jonah will be swallowed by a great fish. Throwing a man like this is like taking a man's life. And so that's why they pray, O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you please. Verse 15. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard. And the raging sea grew calm, just like what Jonah had said. Verse 16. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and make vow to him. When people face tribulation, calamity, trial, suffering, affliction, they make vow. You understand? But make sure you keep the vow. And what happened? Jonah is the one refused to preach the gospel. And Jonah know that the only way to calm the storm is to be thrown into the raging sea. What happened? It was thrown. And lo and behold, the ship become calm. Right? But Jonah disappeared. It's gone. And then the Bible says the Lord provide a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Inside that 3 days and three nights, Jonah prayed to God. He turned around and asked God for second chance. Asked God to deliver him. So what have we learned? Very much we are like Jonah. When we are in deep trouble, we follow the pattern of Jonah's prayer. We pray to God and ask for forgiveness. You understand? And hoping that the Lord will deliver us. But I know Jesus Christ remained the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jonah repent, and God deliver him and forgive him, and I believe if we turn to God and repent, he will forgive us and deliver us. I want you to write it down at the beginning of chapter 2, you write Acts chapter 3, verse 19. And then read that to me at him. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. When Jonah repent and turn turn to God and to do God's will, God spare his life and forgive him, and time of refreshment come upon him. In the same way, if we turn around and turn towards God, repent, and he will deliver us and forgive us too. 3:19 Acts.
Just 19?
Yeah, 3:19.
Repent, then, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord.
That's exactly what happened to Jonah. It will happen to us too. You know, I want you to write down at the very beginning of chapter 2, Acts 3:19. Okay, and then read the chapter 2. Let's learn from him how did he pray to God. Etta, you read that.
Chapter 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your temple, your holy temple."
Listen to me very carefully, okay? When he is in distress, what happened? He turned towards your holy temple. He turned to God. You may repent and turn to me. Your holy temple. I want you to write down your holy temple. Right beside your holy temple, you write Gospel of John, chapter 2. Jesus Christ, take what? He himself as the holy temple. Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 21. What did it say? But the temple Jesus has spoken of, what his body. Okay, you write down Gospel of John 2:21, right beside chapter 2, verse 4. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. That means I will look again towards our Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? Remember one thing. We are all sinners. From time to time, we will do things that sin against God, and then we get ourselves into deep trouble. Yesterday, there's a lady come to my house and saying to me, she's crying. She's saying to me, I have forsaken the Lord for 20-some odd years, and I think the Lord has abandoned me. And I say to her, follow after me. Our Lord Jesus Christ will never abandon us. We are the one who abandoned Jesus. The moment I turn around, he delivered me. She feels that she's in deep trouble. She feels that the Lord has abandoned her. I say to her, we abandoned the Lord, but the Lord never abandoned us. You understand what I'm trying to say? If the Lord abandoned us, he won't send his son and die on the cross for us. He sent his son to die on the cross for a sinner like us. How would he abandon us? I want you to write that at the beginning of chapter 2. Other than Acts 3:19, I want you to write down Psalm 46:1. The Lord is my refuge, my strength. The Lord is my ever-present help in trouble. When you are in deep trouble, when you are in calamity, you feel that the Lord abandoned you. No. The Lord sent calamity upon you so that you turn around. You understand what I'm trying to say? He never abandoned us. Don't ever have the feeling that the Lord abandoned us. You understand what I'm trying to say? Read that, 46:1.
God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble.
When I'm in deep trouble, I turn to him. I turn around and repent, ask him for help. You know what Jonah said? Chapter 2, verse 2. In my distress, I call to the Lord. And he answered me. From the depth of the grave, I call for help. and you listen to my cry. Right? My Lord Jesus Christ never changed. Don't ever say what that lady say. Say what Jonah say. In my distress, I call to the Lord. The Lord answer me. And from the depth of the grave, I call for help. And you listen to my cry. You understand what I'm trying to say? It makes a lot. It makes a difference. When you think that, oh, now you're in deep trouble. I think the Lord will abandon you. And you will commit a suicide. You know, I mean, when you are so depressed. No. You refuse to have this kind of thinking. This is not what the Bible said. What the Bible says is Psalm 46:1. He's my refuge, my strength, my ever-present help in times of trouble. You understand what I mean? Now is the time you turn to God. You don't turn away from God. You got that? So I think his prayer is very, very good. You see? You hurl me into the deep sea, in the very heart of the sea, and the currents swirl about me, and all the waves and breakers swept over me. I'm about to die now. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I looked again towards your holy temple. Yet I looked again towards our Lord Jesus Christ. You got that? He's my refuge, my strength, my ever-present help. Remember that, you know. I know that you may not face this kind of problem, but maybe your friends face this kind of problem. How are you going to comfort them? Using this Bible verse to comfort them. Then he may say to you, Etta, you know, wow, you know, I think, how do I know, you know, if this Bible verse applied to Jonah, it works in the life of Jonah, it will work in me. You tell them. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. My Lord Jesus Christ remained the same yesterday, today, and forever. How he deal with Jonah? If Jonah respond in the right way, repent and turn towards Jesus Christ, the Lord will rescue him. My Lord Jesus Christ will never change. People change. Situation change. Calamity change. You understand what I mean? But Jesus Christ never change. You got that? So I want you to write down at the beginning of chapter 2, you write down what? Hebrew 13, 8. You got that? Okay, go. And then verse 5. The engulfing water threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head. I can't even breathe, you know, choking me to death now. And the root of the mountain, I sank down. The earth believed, bar me in forever. I can't get out of it. The only way I can get out of this problem is to pray to God. Repent, and I will look again towards your holy temple. I look again towards my God. Okay? And then, verse 6, the latter part of verse 6. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. Why? Because when I called to the Lord answered me and brought me up from the pit. That's the bottomless pit. From your deep trouble. You know what? Eventually, 10 years from now, you may get married. When you get married, you have children. When your children in deep trouble, how are you going to help him to get out of the problem? He said, oh, have peace, don't worry, you won't help him. But if you read the scripture to him, how Jonah get out of problem, and he learned from it, and he practiced it, and do the same, you save your children's life. You got that? Verse 7, could you read it?
When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayers rose to you, to your holy temple.
Wow, remember that. When my life was ebbing away, I remember you. Don't ever say, my Lord has already abandoned me. You'll be so depressed, I'm telling you. You'll be keep crying. You know, you can't get out of it. Crying to yourself won't help. But crying to God, it make a lot of difference. You got that? My Lord Jesus Christ will never abandon me. I want you to read one more Bible verses so that it sink into your mind, so that you know this is Old Testament teaching, but it's also Jesus Christ remained the same. It applied to New Testament teaching too. Romans chapter 8, I want you to read that. Romans chapter 8. I want you to read chapter 8, verse 28 all the way to 39. You see that when Paul, in the most difficult situation, the most dangerous situation, and yet he know the Lord's love remained the same, never change. We deliver him. Verse 28.
And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
So including the calamity that Jonah faced. Okay? God worked out everything for the good of Jonah, because Jonah loved him. He cried to God. Okay? Verse 29.
For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What, then, shall we say in response to this? If God is for us...
Remember that if God is for us...
Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written...
Now, read that again, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sore, or storm? No! Come on. As, verse 36.
As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.
No. And I'm glad Jonah faced this kind of situation and he can get off the situation. Just like, hey, when he was swallowed by a big fish, isn't it just like when the medical doctor announced to you have cancer? You don't just give up. You cry out to God and say, God, use me. I want you to use me. I want you to use me, use my life, spare my life, so that I will be a noble instrument in your hand. You understand what I'm trying to say? God always gives us a second chance. He's a great God. You know what I mean? So, as far as the Old Testament teaching is in conformity with the New Testament teaching, right? Okay, Romans 8, 37. Keep reading it.
No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
You know the reason why that, remember I say to you, that lady, she said to me that she's crying, saying that I think my Lord has abandoned me because I have abandoned the Lord for over 20 some odd years. I say to her, don't ever say that. Follow after me. Although I abandon the Lord Jesus, my Lord Jesus will never abandon us. Do you remember in Jonah chapter 1? Jonah abandoned God, right? God wanted him to go to the east, he go to the west, right? But the Lord did not let him go. He didn't send a small fish to chew him up. He sent a big fish, swallow him, so as to give him time to turn around. Right? So remember one thing. Whatever the situation you face in the future, I don't care how difficult it is, you always turn to God. You understand? Tell me, what happened when you face difficulty situation? If your daddy faced difficult situation, what are you going to say to your daddy? Do not be afraid. Do you know how to say to your daddy? Do you know? Edit. Show her. when your daddy faced difficult situation?
Should call to the Lord.
Call to the Lord. In my distress, I call to the Lord, and He answered me. Remember that 2:2 of Jonah. He always answers your prayer. Okay? Call to the Lord. Don't ever say to yourself, I don't think the Lord will forgive me now. The Lord will always forgive you. Remember what the Bible was I asked, I gave it to you? Acts 3:19. If I turn to the Lord and repent, what happened? He will wipe out all my iniquity. And time of refreshment will come upon me. And He will deliver me. And that is how I pray for Pollyanna, Joshua, and all the other brothers and sisters that are in deep trouble. You understand? Don't ever give up. We Christians, if we give up, we'll be dead. Jonah did not give up. Jonah cried out to God. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and He answered me. From the depth of the grave, I call for help, and You listen to my cry. And then when the Lord listened to his cry, verse 6, the latter part of verse 6, but You brought me up. You brought my life up from the pit. That's the bottomless pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remember You, O Lord. And my prayer rose to You, to Your holy temple, to our Lord Jesus Christ, and hear me. And He delivered me. Verse 9, could you read that?
But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to You.
No, Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. Verse 8.
Verse 8?
Yeah.
Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs.
Do you know what? I lately, the earthquake in Japan, you know what I see? A lot of Japanese people in this calamity, 9.0 Richter scale earthquake, and then tsunami. Now, a few days ago, we have 7.4 Richter scale. You remember that? And what do? They turn to idol. They pray to idol and ask idol to help them and deliver them. So, makes you one thing, when you are in deep trouble, don't follow my footsteps. You know what? When my brother was in a car accident 20-some-odd years ago, and I don't know Jesus Christ. No one shared the gospel to me at that time. I prayed to idol. You know, lo and behold, chapter 2, verse 8, what did the Bible say? Those who cling to worthless idol, when you are in distress, when you are in calamity, they are the one who forfeit the grace that comes, that could be theirs. If you cry out to God, you'll be delivered. You cry out to idol, my brother died 10 days after the accident. You understand what I'm trying to say? When you are in deep trouble, you cling to worthless idol, you don't cling to our Lord Jesus Christ, you don't turn trust Him, you'll forfeit your own life. Forfeit the grace that could be yours. You understand? That's very scary. I don't know these Bible verses before. Now I know. So I feel very pitiful for the Japanese. You know, I'm just wonder whether anything can be done, you know, other than we pray for them. I think we need to, when we see the Japanese, Lydia used to have a Japanese restaurant, do you remember, Lydia? So Lydia has, Lydia Fong, has a few Japanese clientele, customer. And until now, from the wording of Lydia and the Japanese customer, although they are Christian, and they still do not know why it happened to them. They don't know how to share the gospel to their own kinsmen. That I feel very sad. Remember one thing. Verse 7 and verse 8 is like heaven and hell. Verse 7, when my life was ebbing away, I remember You, O Lord, and my prayer rose to You and to Your holy temple. There is a deliverance for that. But when you're in deep trouble, those who cling to worthless idol forfeit the grace that could be yours. It's really sad. Remember, you know, if your friends in distress, in calamity, and cling to worthless idol, you save him by telling him these Bible verses. Verse 9.
But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord.
I found out this verse is very powerful. You know what? When he prayed this verse, verse 9, is he still in the belly of a great fish? He is. But he knows the Lord has already answered his prayer. So he gives thanks to God ahead of time. Can you imagine your parents beat you up and you are very naughty, and they say, I thank you, Daddy, to beat me up, I deserve it. I say, hey, when he hear that, he stop it. He stop it right away, I can guarantee you. He say, Lord, I mean, I'm not saying Lord. I say, Daddy, I'm turning around, I won't do it again. You know, I give you thanks, and you know, thank you for beating me up, you know. You know what I mean? Right? Jonah is a very smart boy, man. But I, with the song of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you, and what I have vowed, I will make good. In other words, when he's in distress, he not only pray to God, and he make a deal with God. Say, Lord, if you save my life, I will serve you. That's exactly how I teach Joshua to do it. Make a deal with God, and God will spare his life. My God is a mighty God. Jonah make a deal with God. What I vow, I will be good. But make sure when you make a vow, you do it. You don't say, oh, I forget what I say. Right beside this, chapter 2, verse 9, I want you to write it down. Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. Ecclesiastes is after the Proverbs, okay? That was written by Solomon. Chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 4. And all the way to 6, 5 to 6, okay? Could you read that? What I have vowed, I will make good. Right beside the vow, you write down Ecclesiastes 5, 4 to 6. Get that? You see that?
When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vows. Vow. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger. My vow is a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands?
If you have no intention to fulfill your vow, don't make a vow. Because God means what he say. He hear everything. When you make a vow, he take it as a face value. He will deliver you. But when he deliver you, say, I'm sorry, you know. I don't want to do that. I just, when I'm in difficult situation, I just make a vow. You know, I don't mean it. Don't ever make a vow like that. Whatever the vow you have made, follow the very first step of Jonah. What I have vowed, I will make good. Without delay. Add one more word. Without delay, right? Do it right away. You know what I mean? And salvation comes from the Lord. Verse 10.
And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land.
That means the Lord listened to his prayer, right? His thanksgiving doesn't disappoint him. So what will you do? Let's learn from Jonah. When I'm in deep trouble, I face calamity, life and death situation. What did Jonah do? He prayed to God. He don't turn to idol. He turned to God. True God, living God. The God who hear prayer, right? Psalm 65 verse 2. To you, O Lord, I come, because you are the one who hear our prayer. Psalm 65, verse 2. Oh, you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. When you are in deep trouble, pray.
pray to God. Don't pray to idol. Because our Lord Jesus Christ hear your prayer. Okay? Now, what did, other than praying, what did he do? When he prayed, he found out he's still in the belly. What did he do? He made a vow. And he said to the Lord, what I have vowed, I will make good. Okay? And after that, he made a vow. And what else did he do? He gave thanks to God. You know why he's giving thanks? Because Lord disciplined Jonah, that means the Lord loved him. The Lord wanted him to go to Nineveh and to preach the gospel, to save his enemy. Okay? And then he knows that salvation comes from the Lord. Salvation doesn't come from worthless idol. So don't ever cling to worthless idol. Don't ever pray to worthless idol. Okay? Okay, chapter 3.
What's the difference between making a vow and swearing to God?
Oh, I don't swear, but I make a vow.
But what's the difference?
The difference is like that. In New Testament, Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 5, do not swear. In James, Jesus' brother, written, James, the book of James, chapter 5, do not swear. I don't swear. I just make a vow, I say to the Lord, I say, Lord, if you deliver me, I will do this. I don't swear, I say, I vow to do it. I will, what I have vowed, I make good. I will do it. When you make a vow, you better be serious that if you have no intention to do it, if you cannot do it, don't promise that. You understand? Hey, put it this way. I don't think it's that bad. Just take a look at the situation of Jonah. What's the reason why he's in the belly of the great beast? Because he refused to go to Nineveh. The Lord wanted him to go to the east, he go to the west. All he has to do, okay, I hear what you say. You mean what you say. You deal with me. Okay, I turn around, I will do it. Give me a second chance, I will do it. You understand what I'm trying to say? So chapter 3, he did it. Okay? I remember when I get my citizenship, Canadian. I wasn't born in here. I was born in Hong Kong, right? You're born in here? You're born in here? So you get a citizenship, they ask you. You either swear or you can affirm, right? I say, I affirm. I don't swear. I say, I affirm I will be loyal to the nation of Canada. I don't swear. Okay? When you swear, you always swear in the name of someone that's greater than you. Who are you going to swear? You can swear to God. You know what I mean? It's very serious. Because the Lord know that when we swear, we can't do it. But when you make a vow in your life and death situation, make sure you write it down in the Bible. And you do it way away. It works. Who else make a vow other than Jonah? You remember Hannah? In 1 Samuel, you remember Hannah? He has no children. He said, Lord, if you give me a children, give me a child, I will offer this child to you to serve you all the days of his life. And the Lord gave him Samuel. The word Samuel means, I hear your prayer. And Hannah fulfilled the vow. Hannah did not swear. He made a vow. Go. Chapter 3.
Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh.
Now he say obey now, right? So he fulfilled the vow, right? Right? Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh.
Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened.
So, now, chapter 2, we learn from the life of Jonah. Did Jonah fast? Of course he didn't eat anything for 3 days and night, right? He prayed to God, he gave thanks to God, he made a vow. And he said, what I vow, I make good. And then the Lord delivered him. Now, learn from the king. What did the king has done that turned and the calamity didn't come to this nation? The Lord did not destroy this nation 40 more days. Okay, in verse 4, on the first day Jonah started into the city and he proclaimed 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. We were overturned by God. God say, I will destroy this nation. But when they hear the calamity, they do the same thing. In Acts chapter 3 verse 19, what did the Bible say? It doesn't matter that Acts 3:19, it applied to Jonah, it applied to the king of Nineveh. You know, you understand what I mean? Acts 3:19 is a very, very powerful Bible verses that we all have to remember that. Because from time to time, either you face calamity, distress, or your friends face calamity, distress, then if they turn to you and ask you for help, you know, what will you give? You give 3:19, the book of Acts. Read that to me again.
Repent then and turn to God so that your sins will be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord.
That's exactly what happened to Jonah. That's exactly what happened to the entire countrymen of Nineveh. They were all spared. They were all forgiven. Right? That Bible verse is very, very powerful, right? 3:19. Remember that. Say that again. Follow up to me. Acts 3:19. We read it 3 times. You know, this Bible verse is so good. You know, it's so helpful to myself. And I think it will be helpful to you. And I pray that you're going to use it later on. Not necessarily in your own life, but help your friends. Acts 3:19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins might be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. That's exactly what happened to Jonah. That's exactly what happened to Nineveh. Remember chapter 1, what do we hear? The Lord said, go to the great city, chapter 1, verse 2, of Nineveh, and preach against it, because its wickedness have come up before me. Even though this nation is a wicked nation, the moment they turn around, as if the Lord forgive, as if the Lord has already forgotten that they are wicked, right? They forgive them. So in other words, and from what I understand, when you are in a bad situation, the Lord do not want to destroy you. the Lord want you to turn around and repent and turn to Him. You got that? And be saved. Okay? Okay. Now, let me see what else do we learn from Nineveh. When they hear, in verse 5, they fear God. They believe God. And then what do? They declare a fast. They don't eat anything. All of them. From the greatest, like the king, to the least, like servant, they put on sackcloth. They humble themselves. Sackcloth means humility. They say, I'm in deep trouble now. I turn around. Instead of becoming a proud man, he humbled himself. And then what did he do? When the news reached the kings of Nineveh, he rose from his throne and took off his royal robe and covered himself with sackcloth and sat down in the dust. And then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. He wanted all people to do the same. Do not let any man or beast, herb or flock taste anything, or do not let them drink or eat or drink. You know what? If you are the boss of a company, if you face calamity, you tell all the employees, do that. You know what happened? When you do it like that, through this incident, through this calamity, you know who gets saved? You get saved. Your employee hear the gospel. Eventually, your employee will get saved, right? The Lord wants to save sinner. He wants you to make it great. If you are the boss, make sure you tell all the employees, great or small, they all fast. Don't eat anything. And pray to God. Ask God for mercy. When you turn around like that, you'll be delivered. And you say, Pastor John, how do I know? I know that. Because Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, my Lord Jesus Christ remained the same yesterday, today, and forever. In those days when he looked at the king, he's a proud man. He's a powerful man. You know what? You know why Jonah did not want to preach the gospel to the Nineveh? Because Jonah is a prophet. Jonah know that if the Lord destroys this nation, the Lord will not use Nineveh to destroy the northern kingdom of Israel. He wants God to destroy Nineveh so that his own countrymen will be spared. But the Lord did not listen to him. The Lord wants him to save Nineveh, so that God can use Nineveh to destroy the northern kingdom. Jonah is a cunning man. He did not want his own country to be destroyed by Nineveh. So he wants God to destroy this wicked nation. Jonah knows that this nation is a wicked nation. Jonah knows that God is a righteous God. This wicked nation, God will judge him, right? So that he wants God to judge him instead of letting Nineveh to destroy some countrymen. You understand? So that's why he refused to go and preach the gospel. Don't do that. If the Lord wants you to go to your enemy and save your enemy, you save your enemy. Obey God. Okay? So this king humbled himself, get saved. You know, put on sackcloth. Humility, God give grace to the humble person. And then he said, let everyone call urgently on God. He wants everyone to pray. Make sure if you are the boss, you ask everyone to pray for you. If you are the head of the household, you ask all your children, all your servants to pray for you. And everyone, no eating, fast until the Lord bless us. You know what? If you do that, using your power to do this, the Lord will spare your life and save you. Okay, chapter 4.
But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry.
Why he was displeased? You know, the Lord saved the nation. It's good stuff. How come he's displeased?
He prayed.
Did we finish verse 10? Chapter 3? Did we read it?
I think so.
You read it, okay. So why Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry? Isn't it good to say salvation come from the Lord? You know, isn't it what he say, chapter 2, verse 9? Salvation comes from the Lord. Salvation come from the Lord to the Jews, okay. But salvation come from the Lord to Gentile is not okay. Now, come on. This Bible was applied to Gentile and the Jews, right?
He's very selfish, you know, this guy, this prophet. Okay, verse 2.
He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish."
He's still giving excuse to God, you know, saying, I know you will spare them, you know, you don't need me to go there and preach the gospel, you know what I mean? That guy, you know, come with this argumentative, you know.
"I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live."
Hey, what? Can anyone tell me in verse 3, how come Jonah, you know, how many people ever pray to take away my life? Moses did that. Who else? Elijah did that. Now Jonah did that, you know. Can anyone tell me why in chapter 4, verse 3, why Jonah asked the Lord to take away his life? "For it's better for me to die than to live." What make him? Isn't it in chapter 2 he wanted the Lord to spare his life and give him a chance to preach the gospel? And how come he want the Lord to destroy his life? Sally, do you know why? By the Ninevite? No, that's not the reason. Who else? Anyone want to try it? Daniel? Because he, what did he say in verse chapter 3, verse 4? On the first day Jonah started into the city, he proclaimed 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. If the Lord spare this nation, he looks like he's a false prophet. What he prophesied will not be fulfilled. He is so selfish. He regards his life, his name, so high instead of the life of the Gentile to be saved or to be destroyed. He don't care. He cares about people who say to him, "Wow, you are a false prophet. You say 40 more days, my city will be destroyed." Now, my city was spared. You understand what I'm trying to say? Do you see that? Brother and sister, we follow John the Baptist. You know what John the Baptist say in chapter 3 of Gospel of John? Chapter 3, verse 30, "Jesus Christ must become greater, I must become less." That's what we have to learn. You write beside 4, 3, "Take my life." You write down Gospel of John 3:30. He wants to be a great prophet. Whatever he prophesied will be fulfilled. If I say calamity will come to you, calamity will come to you. No, come on. Don't do that. Okay? If people repent, calamity will not come to Levi. Okay? Chapter 4, verse 4.
"But the Lord replied, 'Have you any right to be angry?' Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord
You know, he's very patient for 40 more days. He wanted to see whether the Lord really spare this city or really destroy this city. Verse 6.
"Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, 'It would be better for me to die than to live.'"
But so why did he say a second time, "It would be better for me to die than to live"? Because he feels very discomfort. Three things the Lord God provide. Verse 6, the Lord God provide a vine and make it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head so that to ease his discomfort. And then verse 7, the Lord God provide a worm to chew up the vine so that it withered. And then verse 8, the Lord God provide again. A scorching east wind.
And then the sun blazed on Jonah's head. He felt very discomfortable. He grew faint and he wanted to die. I want to circle the word, chapter 1, verse 17. The Lord God provide a great fish. Everything the Lord provide. God is the God I don't see, but everything happen around us, God provide to make it happen. Why he make it happen like that? He provide great fish to spare Jonah's life. He provide a vine, he provide a worm, and then he provide scorching wind to teach the lesson of Jonah. Everything the Lord provide, but he forgot. The Lord also provide this nation, Nineveh. It's God's people too. If Jonah feel very sad that, you know, that vine grow up one day and then next day destroy, he so pity on the vine. How come you don't so pity on the Nineveh people? You understand what I'm trying to say? That's the lesson that the Lord want Jonah to learn. But Jonah did not learn it. Okay, keep reading it. Verse 8.
When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," he said. "I am angry enough to die."
That guy. The Lord's very patient with him, right? Yeah, God is good. Verse 10.
But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people."
120,000 people. He didn't care less, but he cared about the vine for his own comfort. Is he a very selfish man? He is. He doesn't know the heart of the Lord. Verse 11.
But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?
So that's why the Lord spare people in calamity when they repent and turn to the God. Acts 3:19. You make sure you write down in the book of Jonah. It could stop. You understand? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for the Old Testament teaching so that we know, we learn from Jonah. We are no better than Jonah. Just that our selfishness has not been revealed, as we call it in the Bible. But we are as selfish as Jonah. We don't care less of the other people. Lord, I pray that you give us the compassion so that we can care about the people that you care about, so that we do your will. And help us to remember the book of Jonah is only 4 chapters, but a great lesson for us to learn. And also we learn that our Lord Jesus Christ, our refuge, our strength, our ever-present in help in times of trouble. And Lord, whenever we are in trouble, and help us not to cling to worthless idol. Help us to cling to our Lord Jesus Christ, who hear our prayer. I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen.